actually am very grateful for those two songs that were led. On Sunday nights, we'll be working together and different topics. I believe they should be on the board in the back. And on tonight, we're going to be talking about working together through prayer in difficulties. In Job 14:1, the Bible demonstrates to us something very clear, And I want us to just talk for a few minutes and keep in mind that life is filled with difficulties and it's no way around them. However, we don't want to be the type of people that bring difficulties upon ourselves. But in Job 14:1, Job said, "Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, And so when we think about that trouble, we understand that at times trouble is brought into our lives. Sometimes we bring the trouble into our lives. Sometimes we step into the trouble. And as the people of God, we want to make sure that we're working together as close as possible. So when those difficulties and troubles do come, then we'll have one another to lean upon. We'll say this, and I'll be very frank. At this particular juncture in my life, working with Brother Royce and Brother Ryan, I don't know two better men I can work with right now. Working together through trials, through troubles, being of one accord, one mind, thinking alike, having the same goals, same mind. If one of us have issues and troubles, we go to God and pray for each other, right? We talk to one another. Brethren, you cannot be successful unless you stay within God's plan. Brother Ryan did a magnificent job this morning on displaying how we're supposed to be working together. No one is greater than the other. And as long as we're working together, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And he brought in the home. He brought in the aspects of the congregation. So many different avenues that he brought in. In Numbers chapter 13, just put these in your notes. I'm not really going to spend a lot of time with them because I want to open this up for discussion. And keep in mind that when we are a people of prayer and communication with God, and prayer is more of a general idea, but communication with God is really the specifics. Because it's interesting, and being doing this for the last 26 years, I find it very interesting that people will tell me that, "Well, my prayer life's great." Well, how often are you studying? How often are you reading the Word of God? Well, hold on. We can't have it. You can't have it that way. Communication is actually the specifics. Prayer is more of the general. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 33, we come across the people of God. God tells Moses send 12 spies into Canaan so they can spy out the land. And God is demonstrating, showing them, "I have given you the land. I have given you the land." And the very fact that God says that "I have given you the land" should be enough for them to say, "Okay, God has given us the land. We know we can take that." Verse 17. We see in verse number 23 that they bring back evidence of that idea that God had given them. All right. They bring back evidence. And then in verse number 27, we see that God was actually telling them the truth. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Here's the evidence. Here's the proof. And then we find Caleb, and he took it upon himself because he believed God. And that's important, to believe God. Remember, we talked before, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. Those are two different things. Here we see in verse number 31, "But the men had gone up with him said," now notice this, "we are not able to go up against this, against the people, for they are stronger than we." Hold on. God said that they could go in there and take the land. But because of the mentality of these 10, they made it difficult on the people. And so the people didn't believe that they could take the land. Here it is, a difficulty. And when leaders are not having faith in what God says, it makes it difficult for the people. Whether it is in the church, whether it's in the home, it does not matter. This is why leaders have to be in tune with God. In what way? Not just in prayer, not in meditation, not in just studying, but the whole man, the whole being. For this reason, I see why, and it's making more and more sense to me the older I get, that the whole individual has to be dedicated to God Almighty, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay? So we see something very interesting, that these individuals had difficulties in their lives, but they had difficulties in their life because they did not believe. They did not believe. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and when Brother Victor said 977, and I saw the title of the song, I said, perfect. And him and I did not talk. Jehoshaphat. We have a difficulty. We have issues. We have a problem. The children of Israel were going to be ambushed, besieged, attacked, if you will, by Ammon, Moab. And we see something interesting in verse number 1 and 2. Verse number 1 and 2. Do you have that, Tobias? Go ahead and read that.
It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are the Pazazan Tamar, and they are in Pazan Tamar, which
all right, good. Now, notice the response of Jehoshaphat. Difficulties come upon us. Sometimes they catch us off guard, not really in tune with what's going on. Every now and then, there's things that come into our lives that we were not expecting. Difficulties, okay? Working together through prayer in difficulties. This is why we have to keep our line of communication open with Jehovah. This is why we have to keep our line of communication open with special brethren that we have. This is why we have to be talking with one another, trust one another to the best of our ability, and be a person that is trustworthy. I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'm not being ugly. But be careful when you say you don't trust no one. Be careful. Because you want someone to trust you. At least I hope you would. And the reason why I say that, brethren, is because God put the greatest message, and Brother Ryan said this morning, I appreciate it. He put the greatest message with us. Brethren, do we understand how important the gospel message is? And God allows us to teach it and preach it and hold on to it? And Brother Corey spread it? Yes. Brethren, God trusts us. We have to be in a position to do the same. But notice, Jehoshaphat, verse number 3, he feared, set himself to seek the Lord, and notice, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Notice, working together through prayer in difficulties. Working together through prayer in difficulties. Brother Victor, I appreciate you helping us with that song, because the battle does belong to the Lord, and we're going to see it even in this text. And when we take matters upon ourselves, and it's making more sense to me, and brethren, I'm trying to figure Christianity out more so, because the older you get, life changes, mindsets changes, but something never changes, and this word doesn't change. God doesn't move. And so when we step away from God, no wonder the difficulties become more difficult. But when we step closer to God through meditation, through prayer, through study, through application, little Mike taught me this and I appreciate it. When you learn what God says, put it into practice. That's where the true learning is. You can know one thing, but if you're not put it into the practice, can I really say I know it? Can I really say I know it? So here, these individuals, starting with Jehoshaphat, the leader, and the people, they gathered together, and notice what they did. They asked help from the Lord. So don't have time to go and look into all of this. That's not really my point in this. So I want to drop down to verse number 13. Because these individuals, they understood their identity. They knew who they belonged to. But in verse 13, now all Judah, with the little ones, their wives, the children, stood before the Lord. Now, there was nowhere else to turn, but I love how everyone was there. Can I make this little side point here? One thing I love about this congregation, especially on Sunday nights, all of us are in this room together. It's a beautiful thing, how we can learn as a family, learn with our families. Here, all of them are together. They're going to approach the Lord together. And notice verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazael, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Watch this. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you kings Jehoshaphat, and you king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Why? What did he say? Who does the battle belong to? Brother Victor led us in that song. The battle does belong to the Lord. And brethren, if at any time I believe that the battle never belongs to the Lord, I'm in trouble. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. Let's look at that. What does it mean the battle belongs to the Lord? What does it mean the battle belongs to the Lord? Zach, when you get that, I want you to read.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Guess what happens when we believe the battle belongs to us? We lean upon what? What we think. We don't confide in one another. We find ourselves secluded by ourselves. And the last thing you want is to be a sheep by yourself. You know what wolves do with sheep that are by themselves? What does he do? He ravages them. He destroys them. I often wondered why ministers, now I'm talking about ministers. I often wonder why ministers at times live secret lives. Y'all stay with me. Could it be that they don't believe they have someone that they can confess to? Hold on. I wonder why Christians live secret lives sometimes. Could it be that they don't believe they have someone that they can confide in? Hold on. Difficulties come. Trials come. Temptations come. Hardships come. Working together. We're talking about working together. Been talking about it for a month. Through prayer. In difficult times. The difficult times come. Guess what God's people do? They stay together. They don't seclude themselves. They stay together. They work the situations out together. Families together. Homes together. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, I know there's probably a few in here that's thinking, I don't need nobody. I've been there. The Lord taught me something. I needed my brethren. You know you need your brethren? We all need our brethren. We need one another. And I find it interesting in verse number 17, notice what it said. He said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Y'all remember that in Exodus 14 and verse number 13? When the children of Israel were coming out of Egyptian bondage, they're at the Red Sea. They got the Egyptian army behind them. And remember what Moses said? He said the same thing. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. But notice what he says. Who is with you? Brethren, if we are together like we're supposed to, and sin is not separating us from God, and sin is not separating us from one another, God is with us. You can tell when people start embracing sin. One old preacher said this. He said, sin will either keep you away from this book, or this book will keep you away from sin. That's a true statement. Anytime you start getting away from the Word of God, the book, then you start separating yourself first from God, then from the people of God. And then you separate yourself from yourself. And you think about that for a bit. And so here, it's interesting, he says, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. You go back, you read the rest of it. God was definitely with them. Who remembers how they were victorious? Who remembers? What did God tell them to do? Anybody remember? Ryan, you saying something? Mm-mm. What did God tell them to do? I'll wait. Huh?
Verse 17, position yourselves, stay still.
But what did he tell them to do? What? Say that again?
21 says, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise.
You know what God told them to do? He told them to sing. And in their singing, he delivered them. Huh. No wonder he said, you're not going to do anything. No offense. That's one thing I love about growing up with old people. I grew up with old people. And old people used to say, you know, every time you put your hands on something, you mess it up. Every time you put your hands on, just take it to the Lord. Stay with the book. Keep your hands off of it. There's a lot of truth to that. Put our hands on it. God told his people, I want you to sing. So they honored him. They praised him in holiness. They praised the Lord in verse number 21. And God delivered them. God delivered them. All right. So the battle belongs to the Lord. When we stop and we consider working together. And brethren, we need to keep working together and work together even more so. And hopefully, as our dear brother said this morning, if we're working together at home, then we're going to bring that with each other. We'll work together here. And then the community will be able to see us working together as well. Again, working with Royce and working with Ryan, working together. It's a blessing to work together. And hopefully you'll see us working together and y'all will want to work together even more so. And so difficult times come, you have to be working together so when those difficult times come, you won't break away. Look at Ecclesiastes 7. There's nothing wrong with problems. There's nothing wrong with sufferings. Royce, give me Psalm 119, verse 65 through 72. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Verses 1 through 3, Ecclesiastes 7, verses 1 through 3. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow is better than laughter. Sorrow is better than laughter. Hold on, that's not what we think sometimes, right? Let me tell you what people do when they don't know what to do when someone's going through a difficult time. Well, let's just go there and just make them feel good. No, sometimes sorrow is good. It causes you to think. It causes you to slow down. It causes you to analyze and look at situations. And it causes you to figure out who's there with you. There's one that will never leave you nor forsake you, Brother Jerry. That's God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. So he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance, the heart is made better. Brethren, do we believe God when he says that? I had someone text me yesterday, and they said, do you really believe that? I said, I believe it with all my heart. God said it. It's true. Some of the best times in my life were during hard times, difficult times. Why? Because I was able to see things for what they really were. That's what's wrong with sin and the pleasures of sin for a season. It causes you to see the situation for not what it really is. But then when reality hits and when our expectations and realities don't coincide, then you're going to have problems. And so in Psalm 119, 65 through verse number 72, notice what the psalmist said, Brother Royce. Yes, sir.
You have dealt well with the servant, O Lord. According to your word, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and too good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forced a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver.
Beautiful passages of Scripture. What do we learn in here? What do we learn here? We'll talk about prayer here in a little bit. We'll talk about even being together. But right now we're talking about sufferings and difficulties. What do we learn here? Trust in the Lord. All right. Sister Mary says, trust in the Lord. Anyone else?
Sometimes learning doesn't come without affliction.
Sometimes learning does not come without affliction. Sometimes learning does not come without affliction. Zach. Speak up, I can't hear that.
God's word is the most valuable thing that we can possess.
That's right. God's word is the most valuable possession that we have. Anyone else? Anyone else? What do we learn? Eric.
Being teachable.
All right, to be teachable. All right. That's actually a good point. We'll discuss that in a minute. Anyone else? Yes, Miss Anna. Excellent comment. Excellent comment. Anyone else?
Well, I mean, aside from the text itself, which is something we can learn, is sometimes a tough time will make a tough teacher. You learn how to endure, and you can go through the next problem, the next test that just comes your way.
I remember someone telling me something one time, and my response to them was, don't forget that Jesus took a beating before he went to the cross. Tough time makes tough people. And unfortunately, we've reared a bunch of people, children, that are just weak. Difficulties come, I give up. I go the other way. But if I'm accountable to someone, and that person that's in my home, that person in the congregation that's holding me accountable, it's going to make me tougher. Being tough has little to do with muscles, little to do with finances. Being tough has a lot to do with being moral. You know how much strength it takes to be moral? We live in a very immoral society. Well, I can't seem to leave pornography alone. I can't seem to leave this alone. I can't seem to leave covetousness alone. I can't seem. Well, hold on. Stop. Then get stronger. Well, how do you get strong? In the Lord and the power of his might. When do I get to a point, as Brother Ryan was saying in his lesson this morning, that I'm looking at my brethren on an equal playing field as myself? It's the same thing. Brother Ditmore than Sister Bonner.
Another song here. God will take care of you.
Yes.
You're not the snake, whatever you got, God will take care of you.
Yes. That's what you're saying. That's right. That's exactly what we're saying. And he takes care of us through his word. He takes care of us through the brethren, through sound mind. Sister Bonner.
You made a good point when we talk about how people can't leave certain vices alone, and because they're not in the word in order to get stronger, what they've done now is convince themselves that they don't have to be stronger, that they can somehow be right with God and maintain those vices. And so they convince themselves that they're okay in order to be able to survive, because now they feel like they can't do it.
That's right.
They call themselves a sinner, or they say that I'm just human, or they give themselves an out.
That's right.
To just accept the fact that I can live in sin, I can still do what I want to do and be right with God.
That's right.
Which is completely contrary to what the word teaches.
So it's good that I have been afflicted, I may learn your statutes. It's good that I have been browbeaten. It's good that I've gone through difficult times. It's good that these things take place in my life. It makes me stronger. But Brother Royce, I'm already strong. Now I'm lying. And it's unfortunate, brethren, and y'all can fire me, but it's unfortunate that even some of us think that we're that strong that we can't get better and do better. And that's not right. If we're going to work together, we got to put ourselves in a position that we're vulnerable. We got to put ourselves in a position where I can get cleaned. I see why people, they just struggle with vices over and over, never get past it. Well, you haven't confessed it. You haven't turned from it. You haven't mustered up the strength to just be open and receive the help needed. And so, brethren, it's so important for us to understand these things and to work together and to know that we're in this together, because we are. In Luke 22 and verse number 32, remember what Jesus told Peter? Luke 22. Yes. Remember, it was verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, one translation says, when you are converted, strengthen your brother. I think about that often, because working together through prayer, we understand that being converted requires me seeing myself for who I am and turning from it. But also going to my brother and my sister, asking them to pray for me. That requires a lot of strength, motivation. And brethren, if you have someone in your home that you can count them as one of those, you've already... you're on the winning side. I look at my wife and smile. Why? Because God wants us to work together. He wants us to pray with one another, confess our faults to one another, strengthen one another in the midst of the difficulties. All of us are going to have them. There's no way to get around them. Brother, Sister Mary, No. I was thinking about Tobias. You're far from a brother looking. You're getting me in trouble. That's a good point.
Doesn't mean that when you're holding each other accountable or don't agree with someone or something.
Don't. That's an excellent point. Just because we're holding each other accountable doesn't mean we don't like each other. Now, for some reason, we live in a generation where when you correct someone, they think you don't like them. Well, hold on. If I correct you, maybe it's because I do like you. One person said one time, be careful when people stop saying things to you. That's when you ought to get in trouble. Brother Tobias.
You mentioned how if we're, I guess, living in secret, not confessing, and it kind of made me think of you're hiding. I just believe if you for one instance think that I don't want to confess this yet because I believe I can overcome it on my own in secret, then you're really saying you found another way to get over sin without using the blood of Christ. And Achan, who had something and hid it and thought they could get over it. They could present themselves before God's people as I'm okay, didn't do anything wrong. But God made sure that the whole congregation knew. And it's the same with us.
That's a good point.
If we're trying to hide it, but in essence, you're saying, I found another way to rid sin from my life other than doing what God has prescribed me to do.
That's an excellent point. Anyone else? Eric.
I was going to say, I have grown where what I can't see, I want somebody to tell me what I'm doing wrong because I'm still new in the faith, but I'm want to do better as want to hear because that's what the best thing I can do.
Yes.
But I also want to be humble that I need help more than I need to know everything.
That's good.
Like I went for prayer the other night, I said, you know, I know I'm looking at myself too much because of what I'm going through, so I need this prayer because I want to keep going the right way with my brother's help because, you know, sometimes that's all you got.
That's right. That's right.
And what you don't have anymore and what you do have now when you're in the church is because God led you here. You got to look what leads you and guides you when you're reading his word. And that's where I finished the Bible this year faster, and I got more understanding being in the Lord's church because I know that's why I'm in the right place.
Look at James 5:13 and following. And as you turn in there, I was thinking about this. The Lord has blessed us with multiple baptisms in the last few weeks. And I was thinking, sent the elders a message. I'm like, well, two more souls to be responsible for. It's a burden. I mean, we love Brother Payton. Brother Payton's motivating us to go out, seek, save the lost. And they're obeying the gospel. Somebody got to watch over them. It's difficulties. Need to pray. Need to be together. No schism. No division. And so in James 5:13, is anyone among you? Notice the remedy as Brother Tobias brought out very eloquently. Is anyone among you suffering? God gives the remedy. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, we can go to the 2 Chronicles 20 with Jehoshaphat and what God told them to do to sing. In other words, God is saying, this is a joyful time. You're being attacked, and this is a joyful time. I found that interesting because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as it relates to when Paul said, when I'm weak, then I am strong. I will glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. What, Paul? Are you serious? I got these distresses, these problems, these troubles coming, and Paul is saying, I'm glorying in those things. This is an opportunity for the strength of Christ to be seen in me and not me rely upon my own strength. And so we need one another to remind each other. I know you're going through a difficult time. Rejoice. I know you're going through a hard time. Be of good cheer. And so he says in verse number 14, if anyone among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We had a brother a few days ago do that, call on the elders for prayer because of a situation. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, wow, if I have an issue, who should I call? I should call the ones that are in a relationship with the Lord. And I know he is. And I know they are. So notice what he says. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another in order that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Brethren, let's stay in fellowship with the Father so when our brethren call on us, we can go to God in prayer together. Yeah. Now, it's of great integrity when someone asks you to pray for them and you say, brother, right now I got some things going on, just probably need to call someone else. That's great integrity. However, that's not good either. We should always have our lives in a position where we can at least go to God in prayer for our brethren. It's great integrity when a brother is asked to perform in the services of the Lord and he says, no, today I'm not having a good day, no, I bet not. That's fine. However, that should not be the norm. That should not be the norm. What should be the norm is that my relationship with the Father is where it needs to be, however strained it may be. I need to be in contact with the Lord. And so when you ask your brethren, hey, how's your prayer life? You know, we need to be asking each other that. And as others are coming in, being immersed into Christ, coming from different areas, we ought to be asking our brethren, how's your prayer life? Yesterday, we was at a baby shower and came across an old friend of Maya, and she was there. I said, how's your Bible reading? Well, it's interesting that you asked me that. You already know where that was going. Well, I'm listening to podcasts, and I'm doing this, and I'm like, but that's not Bible reading. That's not God talking to you directly. God talks to us through the Word. Brethren, we ought to be spending time with the Word of God. No wonder too many lean on their own understanding. So when the difficult times come, now I don't even go to the ones that have a relationship with the Father because I'm leaning upon my own understanding. And so we stop and we consider that. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Someone had their hand up? Yes, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 4.
You're talking about what you're talking about there, those podcasts, and I'm not saying you're bad because they're not. Oh, going out and going around and doing all that instead of being the Word is when you end up getting into situations you are doing it your way.
That's right.
And not God's way.
That's right.
And that will get you in trouble.
Get you in trouble. Yes, Emily.
Start using outside sources as if they are the direct source when it's not even close.
That's right. That's good. So putting outside sources on equal plane as the Word of God, you know, just in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostles, they understood this. Paul is most likely speaking about the apostleship in 2 Corinthians 4 verses 7 through 10. But we, I believe he's talking about the apostleship here, have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And notice what he says. We are hard pressed on every side. Yet notice his attitude, not crushed. We are perplexed. Notice his attitude, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our bodies. Paul says we're going through it on every single side, but we're hanging in there. We're hanging in there. And so as we close, I want us to consider Exodus 18. I was thinking about this, and when we think about being together, Exodus 18, 1 through 27, we come across a story, a narrative of the children of Israel as they're about to go meet God And Jethro, a priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, he gave Moses some advice, some wisdom. See, the problem here was is that the children of Israel would bring all their problems to him. Well, of course, he was the leader. But they brought all of their problems to him. And Jethro told him that if he was to continue to do this, that he was going to wear himself out and the people. And so let's look at verse number 15 and following. Ryan, do you mind reading verse 15 through verse 19? All right, great. Appreciate that. We have all these difficulties, all these matters, and the people of God and Moses were wearing each other out, if you will. And Moses heeds the wisdom of Jethro, and he listens to him and says, this is what you need to do. Brethren, if I can just give a loose application of this, in Galatians 6, verse number 1 and 2, those who are spiritual, find a good brother or sister that you know is spiritual and lean upon them. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, and lean upon them. And be that brother or sister that is spiritual so someone can lean upon you. And the reason why is because we want to be able to work together and not just burden one person or two people or three people. We want to lean upon each other. And all month we've been talking about working together. And a great gospel meeting with Brother B.J. Clark, working together. And brethren, we work together well. But I do want to say this. Anytime things are going well, guess who's lurking? The devil. And he always wants to devour that which is going well. And so let's watch our lives closely. And brethren, I'm talking to myself more than I'm probably talking to you. I ask that y'all pray for me. Because I think about some of the thoughts that I've had lately. And some of them have not been good. Sometimes Money Mike comes out in my mind, and I'm like, he needs to stay put because he's not a good guy. He wasn't a good guy back in the day. And sometimes people bring out the worst in you, and you got to be careful. And sometimes that's with us, too. And so we're going to spend the last 9 minutes. I'm going to ask Brother Royce and Brother Ryan and Brother Brian lead us in a word of prayer. because talking about working together through prayer in difficulties. And so just some general prayers of helping us to be focused, to be mindful that difficult times come to all of us. But we don't want to be like the sheep that is wandering by themselves and get devoured by the wolf. So I'm going to ask Brother Ryan, if he doesn't mind, to come first, and then Brother Royce, and then Brother Brian. Brother Ryan.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, as we approach your throne, we thank you for being our God and our Creator, the one before whom we can come with our petitions and our thanksgivings. Father, we are thankful for this congregation and the work that is striving to be done here and to labor, to work in your kingdom, and to exalt you. We're thankful for the efforts to build one another up, and Father, to help one another in this congregation, as well as reach out into this community. Father, we recognize that as we put forth these labors and these efforts as we go through this life, that we face problems and we face discouragements. We face difficulties. And first and foremost, Father, we pray that we would help one another to aid one another and to lift one another up, and that we would show a love and a care, concern one for another. Help us to be attentive to one another, to see those areas, to see those problems that face us in our lives, that we might be ready and willing to reach out to our brothers and our sisters, to lift them up and to encourage them. I would particularly pray for our families, that we know the challenges of living in this life, and that we can support and encourage one another. We can stand behind and stand beside parents rearing their children to encourage and strengthen them, to be good examples, to be those that they can lean upon, and that we would strive to help one another and pointing to your word, to the guidance, the wisdom that we find therein. That in so doing, we will build one another up and to be able to help others around us as well. Father, we're thankful for that wisdom that we have as we turn to your word, that it might strive to be, that it would be our guidance, that which we would look to as we seek to honor and glorify you in our lives and help one another. And so thank you for this family. Thank you for the efforts that we put forth one for another. And that they will be effective, beneficial in the growing of your kingdom. And certainly thank you for this avenue to approach your throne, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us continue in our thoughts and our prayers as we petition our Father. Our Heavenly Father, again, we come to you at this time with a spirit of great gratitude, Father. We realize, Father, that you have blessed us so richly with this congregation and the love that we share one with another. Father, we're so thankful for the honor that you bestowed upon us. Heavenly Father, for and the opportunity to be even called your children. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the great love that was manifested on that cruel cross at Calvary. Heavenly Father, for the honor you bestowed upon us and for the privilege to be called your children through obedience to the gospel, we also realize that great responsibility comes with that. Responsibility not only for ourselves, but one for another. Help us to have hearts and minds that look out among our number, our brothers and sisters in Christ, in times of need, in times of distress. Father, that we would be there for them. Father, that they would be there for us. Heavenly Father, we so mindful sometimes of the world that we live in and the difficulties and challenges that we have, because it is a world that continually wants to draw us away from you. Always there to pull us toward it and toward Satan and not toward you and your Son. Help us always be aware, Father, that these challenges and difficulties will always be with us. But that we know, Heavenly Father, we'll be able to lean upon you and your word to help us get through that time. But also realize, Heavenly Father, that we can lean upon one another as well. Heavenly Father, we realize that challenges and difficulties will come our way. But help us each and every day to strive to be a type of people who will not be guilty of self-inflicted wounds because we're not trusting and relying upon you, Father, in your word. Ask now, Heavenly Father, that you would look down upon each one of us with your tender love and your mercy. Strengthen us and guide us each day of our life. Help us as we go through not only the rest of this day, but the rest of this week, to dedicate ourselves to being a real family here, a family that can be trusted, a family that can be relied upon, knowing, Heavenly Father, that is the purpose, that is the design of the church. Ask now, Father, that you look down upon us with your tender love and your mercy, for we know at times that we are weak, that we stumble. We ask for forgiveness of those times and strength day by day to live in such a way that we truly bring glory and honor to your name. Help us always, Father, to remember that with you all things are possible. These things we pray through Christ's name. Amen.
After this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Just a few words before I say my prayer. I heard a lot when I was growing up, younger in the church, 1970s, about prayer meetings. And I've never really been a part of one of those. I can't think of a time that we ever have done that. So if this seems strange to you to actually work together in prayer and have scriptural prayers and oversight of an eldership or a leadership that desires to maintain scriptural authority over a congregation that they've been entrusted to, then it's certainly not a strange thing. It's just strange that we haven't done it. So I wanted to state that before my prayer. Let's pray. Our God and Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Again, we're so thankful. We're humbled by the presence of so many here that desire to do right, the desire to be together and truly be a family. We realize in a world that is sick, that is divided, that is chaotic, that there is still a home, and it's called the church, and we're grateful. Help us again express that great gratitude in our lives as we live our days out. Help us show others what a true family can look like. Help us here, help the eldership here continue to maintain their balance of faith and glorifying thee in all things. Pray that we'll all work together, that we'll be strengthened and edified as we again look to thee through thy word and are again fully satisfied and content. We pray for a good week ahead of us, that we'll all be fortified as a result of our fellowship. And we look forward to the next time we can all be back together. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and amen.